Welcome in to This Is Baseball. I'm Brandon Johnson. We're talking about some uniforms this week. Talked about it a handful of times on the show, dating back all the way back into spring training. Major League Baseball, Nike kind of redid the uniforms this season, made some changes, made them lighter, changed the lettering on them. They're a lot smaller. Last names looking smaller. The whole thing just looked weird. And it just felt like a big unnecessary change. As far as the lettering goes, I get wanting to make a lighter uniform. Obviously, baseball is played through the summer. It's unbelievably hot in some cities, so they wanted to have a better experience. But instead of positive feedback, there was nothing but negativity surrounding these uniform changes. You had sweat soaking through. You had pants that were see-through. I already mentioned the lettering just looked tacky and ridiculous. So MLB put out a memo earlier this week, and they blamed Nike. Said, listen, Nike's going to address the issues that arose with the uniforms this year. All these changes will be made as early as opening day 2025. And some of it could actually show up in the second half of the season. One of the big changes is they're going to return to the larger lettering on the uniform backs. Make sure that the uniforms aren't as prone to showing sweat. And tailored pants. And again, some of those issues could be fixed by the second half of the season. That's from CBS Sports. Getting further into this deal, this memo by the MLB Players Association actually said, look, this is entirely a Nike issue. At its core, what has happened here is that Nike was innovating something that didn't need to be innovated. Which, again, is true. There was like, we want to make uniforms that breathe a little better when it's 105 degrees out. But I don't think that needed to be... I don't think the lettering on the jersey or like the way that the jerseys looked in general needed to be messed with. And I think they just look weird. They look cheap. And for, you know, one of the four best sports in North America, four best leagues in North America, you expect better. And along with the lettering and all the weird stuff happening, there's just been a lack of availability. Talked about it in previous episodes where certain teams couldn't wear their City Connect uniforms because they were not in stock yet and Nike couldn't get them out to the teams in order to wear them in time for the season to start. Brandon Nimmo, New York Mets outfielder, said that they can't wear their black and blue uniforms because they don't have the correct pants. So it's just like one mess after the other, and it just does not make sense. It's kind of funny at the end of the day that this is happening, because it really shouldn't be happening. Because I know, like, nobody looked at MLB's uniforms, like the players, the fans, whoever, and thought, you know what, those need to change. In fact, I would say that for the most part, like, the uniforms in baseball were universally liked. And I like what Nike and MLB are doing. They're trying to be innovative with uniforms. Like looking at the City Connect uniforms, they're just kind of slowly introducing City Connect uniforms for each team. And some of them have been good. Some of them have been great. Some of them have been flat out terrible. Most recently, the Detroit Tigers unveiled their City Connect. It's a blue and black jersey top with Motor City across the front and a black hat that says Detroit. It's safe, and I think that's what a lot of teams have done. Some of them have missed. I don't like the Giants. I don't like the Red Sox City Connect uniforms. Like, love the Royals. I think the Chicago White Sox is great. The Cubs is pretty solid. The Rays just recently unveiled theirs, and it's one of the better ones. I know a lot of people think that they just look like rec league softball uniforms, and I can see the comparison, but I think in baseball, where a lot of the uniforms have been largely untouched, like outside of like your day game uniforms or your, you know, your road alternates, whatever you want to call them, it's cool to see some innovation and some just kind of new ideas. But yeah, out of all the uniform stuff, new uniform stuff is happening. City Connect is positive. The changes that they implemented to the jerseys themselves with the sweat absorbent or sweat resistant rather, and small lettering, Nike's addressing that and fixing that. If it's not at the second half of the season, it'll be ready for opening day 2025. So that is my update on uniforms. Not something that I thought I'd be talking about on May 7th, that we're having a uniform debacle in the league, but here we are. All right, next thing on the agenda today is Bally Sports. If you know, if you live in America and pay attention to sports, you have probably had to deal with Bally Sports in one form or another. They are the regional sports network of multiple franchises across MLB, NBA, and NHL. And they have filed bankruptcy in 2023. And there was questions about the future of broadcasts. Specifically, I'm more familiar with the baseball side of things, so I'm going to stick with that. But as of this week, Bally Sports is no longer available on Xfinity. So if you've turned on your TV to watch your baseball team in the last 7 days, you probably got a message from Xfinity that says, Bally Sports is no longer available. The owner of Bally Sports is in bankruptcy proceedings, and we have offered them multiple options to continue carrying their networks. They have declined each one, and we no longer have the rights to continue carrying their content. As a result, we'll be issuing proactive monthly credits to customers for the loss of this network. So this is Xfinity saying, look, we tried, couldn't come to an agreement, which means that Bally probably wanted more than they deserved. And Xfinity probably said, we're not going to help you dig out of a hole that we didn't put you in. And I think that's fair for Xfinity. It's also nice that Xfinity is issuing those proactive monthly credits, because the consumer should not be punished for something that is completely out of their control. So good on Xfinity for doing that. But this obviously stinks overall. This stinks for Bally Sports for a lot of reasons. They're already in bankruptcy. They're in a hole, struggling to get out of it. Most likely won't. This stinks for Xfinity because I think a lot of people that have cable at this point probably have it for the sports packages. And if you can't get Xfinity to have Bally Sports or your regional sports network, then you probably don't really have a reason to continue having that cable subscription. So you're likely having to weigh whether or not you want to keep your Xfinity going or look elsewhere. So bad for Bally, bad for Xfinity, bad for baseball, because obviously with Bally Sports being pulled off of Xfinity, that means that a good portion of MLB fans no longer get to view their local baseball team. So baseball loses viewers, the fans don't get to see their team, and we'll have to figure out a different way to watch it, or we'll potentially just lose interest in the season altogether. Now, I think what's interesting here is, in the era of cord cutting, for the longest time since Bally came into existence, it was, as a cord cutter, how do I get to watch my local sports team? And for the first few years, there wasn't a solution. It was, you're just going to have to get a cable subscription or you're out of luck. Now, people that have a cable subscription with Xfinity are in the same boat as cord cutters because they no longer have it available. So what do they do? Are they expected to have to get a subscription to Bally Sports Plus? Well, at this point, that is their only option unless they want to look for another avenue, another cable provider to get Bally Sports. But here's the problem with Bally Sports Plus is it's $20 a month for a mediocre service, and the value of that price varies from team to team. If your team is really good, then $20 a month doesn't seem like that big of a deal and is probably worth it to you if you are confident that you're going to see winning baseball. But if your team's really bad, like the, let's just say the 2023 Kansas City Royals, for example, who lost 106 games, paying for Bally Sports Plus is not going to be worth your time because you have higher odds of watching your team lose a baseball game than they are ever going to have of actually winning it. So there's this huge predicament with fans and regional sports networks. Obviously, this isn't new news, but I will be curious to see how Major League Baseball responds to the Xfinity no longer carrying Bally Sports. Because I think this is a perfect time for MLB to look into their blackout restrictions and adjust that and kind of make watching baseball more available to consumers. I don't know if that's just lifting blackouts altogether and allowing you to watch your own team on MLB at bat or what it is. But it's time because this has been going on for too long. So this article is from ESPN. It's by Kylie McDaniel, an ESPN MLB insider. So the headline is MLB don't push kids to drop out to evade draft. So Major League Baseball sent a warning to clubs about encouraging players subject to the MLB draft to withdraw from high school baseball to become eligible to sign as international players. The memo reads, "It has come to our attention that clubs have been encouraging amateur players in the United States to withdraw from or otherwise refrain from playing high school baseball in the U.S. or Canada in order to try to establish residency in a foreign country in an effort to make themselves eligible to sign under the International Amateur Talent System instead of the Rule 4 draft." So the reason that I think teams are doing this is because obviously if an American or Canadian-born player is eligible for the draft, they're going to go through either they're going to go through high school and then they'll be available after their senior year or eligible after their senior year to be drafted. And obviously if you are entering the draft order is based off of record. So those teams with worse records obviously get first chance to draft and sign these players. If a player is in the international draft, any team in baseball can negotiate a deal with that player. So it sounds like teams that probably are more successful are trying to get high talent, you know, early first round pick talent or talent that would likely not be available in a draft format. They're trying to get those players to forego high school baseball and go gain residency in a foreign country to be available to be part of the international amateur talent system. And those good teams wouldn't have to wait in line and hope that the player that they're interested in is still available when it's their turn to draft. So further on in this article, it says, in the memo, the league clarified the rules around eligibility and what rules teams were breaking by encouraging players to change their eligibility. The memo says that encouraging players to make this change shall be subject to significant penalties, including but not limited to the denial of player selection rights under the MLB draft or loss of benefits under the International Amateur Talent System. So basically, MLB is like, hey, we see what you're doing. Stop doing it or else you're going to get penalized heavily. And it's definitely teams trying to work what sounds like a loophole, but maybe isn't a loophole because MLB is telling them to knock it off. But I just think that's a risky thing to do if you are a high school player. Because what if you forego high school and then, or you don't play high school baseball in America and you try to go to a different country to play baseball? I just feel like there's a lot of things logistically here that don't really make sense. And I feel like it's a big expense and a big move for a possibility, though. I guess if you're a player that a team is being reached out to about this, you probably have pretty good odds of getting signed. So maybe it would be worth it. But MLB's again saying, hey, don't do that or there'll be problems. Now let's actually get into some 2024 league news about what's actually happening on the field. Because it's been a couple weeks since we've actually talked about games. And I have to give a shout out to the Minnesota Twins, a team that honestly I had kind of written off based off of how they started the season. Well, they just finished a 12-game win streak. The Red Sox actually ended that win streak the other day. But the Twins are now 20-14, and they are tied for second place with the Kansas City Royals and are 2.5 games behind the Guardians. And what's wild about this, with the Twins going on this run that they did, the American League Central has 4 teams above 500. So a division that, whenever we started the season and previewed the season, I was like, this is going to be kind of a weak division. And 84, 85 games can win you this division. And that still might be the case, but if everything continues to go the way that it is now, you're going to have 3, maybe 4 teams that are going to be playing meaningful baseball in September. Now, I still feel like it's going to be the Guardians, Royals, or Tigers that win this division over the Twins, but the Twins have definitely, early May, made this way more interesting than I thought they were going to, because like I said earlier, they got off to a not great start of the season, and now all of a sudden they're hot and right back in it, and, you know, it's still early. Which brings me to my next team. So, American League West, if you're looking at it before the season, you'd go, oh yeah, the Astros are going to be at the top, because that's just kind of what they do. Well, Astros are 10 games under 500. They're 12-22. 7 games behind the Texas Rangers, and they're in fourth place. Mariners are half a game back, and the A's are 3 games back. The A's are 3 games back. Did you guys hear that? They're not the worst team in baseball. But with the Astros and the Athletics, it's still very early in the season, so I think you're going to see these records balance out a little bit. I think the A's are going to fall back towards the bottom of the pack eventually. They are currently 2 games under 500 right now, but they're 7-3 in their last 10. Now, the Astros are a little bit more interesting because I think the Rangers and Mariners are going to continue to be good. If last year and the year before are any indication, they're just going to they're going to compete in the West. And the Astros' biggest problem is their pitching. Their bullpen is absolutely horrendous. They've blown 8 saves. They're responsible for 11 losses. They have a lot of injuries on their pitching staff. And if you ask pretty much anybody, they tell you that pitching is probably the most important thing on a roster. If you have good pitching, you're going to win a lot of baseball games. Well, right now the Astros do not have good pitching. They have Josh Hader, who they acquired in the offseason, or they signed in the offseason, who has an ERA over 6. So he is currently not living up to the potential or the, you know, what we know Josh Hader to be with the Astros, which is obviously a big contribution to their failures so far early in the season. But obviously 12-22, it's May 7th. A lot can happen between now and the end of the season for the Astros. I do think that they can find a way to get back to being competitive, but it's all going to be contingent on their pitching figuring it out, because I think the Rangers are going to continue to play really well, and also the Mariners. So Astros have an uphill climb, but again, not an insurmountable task that they have in front of them. If it was late June or even July, I'd probably say the Astros are in trouble. But since it's early May, I'm willing to give them a chance. Maybe we'll revisit this a little bit down the road with the Astros. Looking on the National League side, National League East, Phillies are actually leading the National League East. They're 3 games ahead of the Braves, who I would have said would be leading the NL East and maybe all of Major League Baseball with their record, but they're not right now. But I've said this the last 2 seasons about the Phillies. I think that they're a team that is better than their record indicates. And right now they are 14 games over 500, and they are playing probably the best baseball in the National League and maybe all of Major League Baseball right now, aside from what the Twins just did. And Astros, they are 24-13. They're 11 games over 500. They're 5.5 games ahead of the Padres, who are right at 500, 8-2 in their last 10. I think we're going to start to see the Dodgers finally take off and be the juggernaut team in the National League in baseball, because it kind of took them a second to get going, it felt like, but now they're kind of hitting a groove and I think are about to take off and go on one of their classic Los Angeles Dodgers runs where they win 30 out of 40 or 40 out of 50 or whatever you want to call it. But that's my kind of quick update on what's going on around the league. We'll have a little bit more to talk about next week as far as maybe some... Oh, one more thing. I can't believe I almost got out of here without bringing this up. The Padres made the first big trade of the 2024 season. Padres traded for Marlins second baseman Luis Arraez and cash considerations in exchange for their players. Now, you don't typically see big trades like this happen this early in the season. A player of this caliber getting traded usually happens in the offseason or near the trade deadline, but Luis Arraez is honestly one of the better hitters in all of baseball, so this is a huge addition to the Padres lineup. So good for them for being proactive and making a move and helping their roster compete in a very tough National League West. All right, well, for real this time, that's all I have this week. I will catch you all next week. Thanks for listening.